Right. Good morning, everybody. How you guys doing? Good. I have somebody's coffee. I'm gonna drink it too. I'll put it over here. You're good. You guys have a good Thanksgiving? Yeah, it's good, right? God is good. There's so much to be thankful for. And then some of us ate like three or four times, right? And then you still have the, who's still eating Thanksgiving leftover food? That's good, right? Just reheat it. God is good. And we have so much to be thankful for. And like I said earlier, you know, we're getting right into the Christmas season. So it's, how many of you guys, this is like my favorite, fall is my favorite time of year because of the leaves and the weather. You get to pull out your sweaters, right? Who's with me? Only two of you guys like the fall. The rest of you guys, okay, more. Okay, good. Some of you guys were still asleep. But no, it's just a, you get right into the season, right? It's Thanksgiving, then we jump right into the holidays, and it's like blankets and coffee, and I don't know. It's just there's something that awesome about this time of year. And so, you know, as a church body, we have a lot to celebrate. Right? We have a lot to celebrate. We have a lot to be thankful for. And we're switching gears, like I said, and we're going to be talking now about Christmas. Yeah. This is like the Jesus Christmas, right? Not the Costco Christmas that started in August, right? How many of you guys are like, you're shopping in the summer, it's all hot, like it's like 110 degrees and like the Christmas trees are already out at Costco, right? You know, not the retail side of Christmas, but Christmas, right? The advent of the Savior, meaning the Savior, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, but today's message is called Prepare the Way. Prepare the Way, because as we talk about when we look at what happens at this time of year in Christmas, I said, you know, it's a very commercial holiday, right? It's not what it used to be. And so for us, it's a great reminder this time around, at this time of year, to prepare our hearts, to remember why we celebrate Christmas. And it's nice to have gatherings and big meals, and the kids love the toys and all that kind of stuff. But really, we already have, it's symbolic that we already have the perfect gift in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so oftentimes we can get caught up in all that hype about the perfect gift and the perfect this and that. And at the end of the day, those things, the material things, you know, I say with my friends, is like, how much more plastic can we give our kids, right? It's like, how many more toys that they're excited about them. And it's like, and sometimes I even tell Steph, it's like the kids are excited, but then it's like, I need another toy. Or maybe they get like a handful. And as they get older, you'll start to see this, right, with your kids. Because when they were little, they get a lot more toys, right? And as they get older, they're like, I only have like two toys. Like, what's going on? Or you start getting them, they start getting clothes or pajamas. How many, like, we should like record their expression with like pajamas. Like, really? Or like socks? You know, and I tell my kids, man, you don't know how blessed you have it. You don't know how blessed you are. You know, like my brother and I, we grew up pretty poor. We grew up in Orange Cove. And I remember getting I would get the top, like, you know, back in the day, they would sell the sweatpants and sweat the top and the bottom as a set. So my brother would get the top and I would get the bottoms, or one or the other. And it's like, I think they're supposed to go together. But hey, that's what you got, right? Or you would get a pair of socks. That was my grandma's favorite thing to give us, right? I was like, I don't know, you got something and a pair of socks from grandma, right? And hey, it is what it is. So we have a lot to be thankful for, right? It's symbolic, but I'm just saying, our kids are very blessed and almost spoiled, I think, sometimes. Yeah, this is looking at my daughter, looking at my wife. I tell her, I was like, you know, enough is enough already. Sometimes too much plastic for around the house. Anyway. And in the custom of the time, right, the big thing was, you know, it's like, what does God say? God says, be fruitful and multiply, get married and have kids, right? And so this is a time where they're both serving the Lord. They're married, but they're not able to conceive a child, right? Now, you can imagine in their life, right? This is, in Elizabeth later on shares it, and we're going to read it as well. She felt ashamed as a woman. Right, she felt ashamed because she couldn't have kids, and so. But what's happening right now, right, is that even though they couldn't see it, that God had a plan, right, and He has a purpose for them, and so He, if we go into verse 13 and 17, that's where the angel Gabriel appears to him, to Zechariah, right? As he's going about his priestly duties and lighting the incense of the altar. And he tells him, what? He says, you're going to have a son, and his name is going to be John. And he has a specific, very specific purpose and a plan for John's life, right? A very specific plan for John's life. Now, as you're sitting there, you might say, well, that's cool, but like an angel of the Lord never appeared to my parents and never came and revealed them. Like my dad wasn't working in the fields picking oranges and the angel came and said, you're going to have a son and his name is Amado, or you're going to have a son and his name is Michael. No, but here's what. When we read the Bible, I always say there's always different stories and themes that you see here, right? And oftentimes it certainly John was made for a very specific plan, a purpose for God's to actually prepare the way for Jesus. But when you look at your life, what do you ask yourself? You think that God does he have a plan and a purpose for your life? How many of you guys see that question? You think that God has a specific plan and a purpose for your life? Only two of you guys. Three of you guys. Right? No. God has a specific plan and a purpose for every single person that is created, every single person that is born, right? Which is unique because what? What does the world tell us? The world tells you you're here by accident. You guys have heard me say this before. The world tells you what? That your uncle is a monkey. Yeah, right? That you're here by accident. That you evolved from something like a primordial slime and then it became a fish and then it became a frog and then the frog became something else. And I mean, there's a lot of holes in that theory, right? God made every single one of us with a plan and a purpose. Every single one of us for a plan and a purpose. Because listen, at the end of the day, God is building up his kingdom today still. And you've heard me say this before, the church is not a building. The church is the people. God has prepared every single one of us. I think he doesn't want any, in fact, if you read it in Peter, it says what? That none should perish, right? He's patient. That everybody would have the opportunity to hear the gospel and turn to him for salvation. But here's the thing. I know that if we're looking at John's life, he was called to go out and to prepare a path and to ask people to repent, to turn away from their ways, because the Lord was coming. And let me tell you guys what. If you read this book, particularly the last book in the Bible, Revelation, it says that the Lord is coming again. The Lord is coming again. And so our job as a church body is to prepare and make a way for his second coming. But here's the other thing, right? If the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, and if the Lord comes, I say, man, I hope he shows up at 10:15 on the Sunday. That'd be awesome, right? But nobody knows, right? Here's the other thing. If the Lord doesn't come, guess what is going to happen? Every single one of us, right, is going to what? We're going to pass away, guys. Because this life is short. It's like a vapor. You guys have heard me say that before. So we are called to prepare and make a way for his second coming, but also prepare and make a way in our hearts and the hearts of the non-believers and our brothers and sisters, our family members who don't know who Jesus is, who don't know Jesus as Lord, who have this misunderstanding of who God is. And so for us, even though we're not going to go out and maybe we should, right, put on those, what was John's attire? Because I'm getting ahead of myself, right? Wore the fur and he would eat honey with locusts. That's kind of, maybe that's how we're going to lose weight, brother. Anyway, but every one of us has a purpose. Just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, right? Here's the thing, though. We can't always see it. We can't always see what God is doing. But we have to be patient and know that God is good. And we have to reflect how we can point people to him in our daily life. Because John was made for a specific task. Baptize and to tell people to repent. But he wasn't himself, right? If you guys read ahead in the book of Matthew, he says, listen, I'm not even fit to untie a shoe or a sandal. Somebody else is coming who's going to baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit. And so for us, we need to make a way as well. We need to prepare our hearts. Because if your heart is not ready, can you do God's work if your heart is not ready? Can you do what God has asked you to do if you're all mad all the time? If you're all bitter? No. If you're all angry and just, I mean, people, I always say, no, we want to be used by God, right? So we need to make sure that our heart is ready and connected with God first. God is sovereign, right? He's in control. And he has a plan for every single one of us, but we have to be obedient to what he's asking us to do. Amen? God's plan has a plan and a purpose for every one of us here. The second point in today's message is that preparation requires faithful obedience. Preparation requires faithful obedience. And we see that in verse 18, 20. Because what does Zechariah do? Obviously, when the angel Gabriel appears to him, number one, he's startled, right? He was gripped with fear. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son. You're to call him John, and he will be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. And he will bring back many to the people of God," right? Now, what does Zechariah say? The first thing he says, instead of like being excited, imagine if you're doing your job and an angel shows up. And you've been praying about this thing, and he says, "Hey, God has answered. God has heard your prayer. I'm going to answer it. You're going to have a child," or whatever your prayer is. But instead of saying like, "Praise God, rejoicing God," what is your first thing? What's the first thing? How about somebody tells you in your life, they tell you a story. What's the first thing you normally respond with? "Are you sure? Is that what somebody said?" What I hear is like, "For reals? Like, for real? Like, are you serious right now?" Like, we don't want to take it at face value. Sometimes if they tell you like an amazing story, "Oh, come on, for real?" So, and that's actually Zechariah's first response. Instead of actually just being happy and being thankful about it, what he says is he actually says to him, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man. My wife is well along in years," right? In fact, in verse 5, it says that they were very old. And they weren't able to conceive. That as a consequence, right? Listen, God has a plan and a purpose for our life, but it requires that we be obedient. It means that if God is asking, if God answers the prayers, and we still have to do our part. We still have to walk through. It's not like God is just going to show up and do everything magically for us, right? We have to do our part of the plan. See, God is sovereign and he is in control, but he still wants us to be faithful and to be obedient to do the task. Now, has God ever asked you to do something and you kind of feel like you're not qualified or you're not ready? Or we make excuses, right? "I don't know enough scripture. Somebody else will pray for them. Somebody else will invite them. Somebody else will do that." And we miss the opportunity to be used by God in a powerful way for his plan and for his purpose. That means that we have to be obedient. Is Jesus calling? Whenever Jesus calls, just say yes. Answer the phone. Amen? So it ends up happening, right, to Zechariah because he doesn't believe. Is he ends up being, God actually makes him mute for a little while during the entire pregnancy. I don't know if you guys, and he can't speak actually. He makes him mute for a while because he didn't believe. I'll continue on. It says Zechariah asked the angel, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." And meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long at the temple. When he came out, he could not speak. truly, they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs, remained unable to speak. And when the time of service was completed, he returned home, and after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown me favor and taken away my disgrace among the people, right? Zechariah had doubts. And here's the reality of it. If you're a believer in Christ, have you guys ever had a doubt when God is... you ever have doubt? Have you ever prayed for something like for so long and you're like, man, I don't know if God is hearing me. I don't know if this is going to happen. Here's the thing. Listen, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. We're not always going to, and I'm just being sincere. You know, everybody in here probably you've gone through and you've prayed and you prayed and you prayed about something. And you say, man, God, why don't you just do this one thing? Can you just answer this prayer for me? Can you help this? And I wish I could tell you that God was like a genie and that he answers every single prayer. He does answer every prayer. Sometimes the answer is no, or sometimes the prayer is not right now, or in a season. And oftentimes we're in a season of waiting. But God is faithful and he is good. And when we go through and we read about Zechariah and Elizabeth, right? They had been praying for years. I mean, she's 60 years old at this point in her life. Now, the angel Gabriel appears to himself and he doesn't believe still. He said, how can I be sure of this? Listen, be faithful to what God has asked us to do. Be obedient to the task that he has at hand for each one of us, right? If you've been praying for the salvation of your family member, keep praying. If you've been praying for somebody that is sick, keep praying. If you've been praying for God to provide, just keep praying. He is faithful and he is good. Oftentimes we look at our life and we just say like, oh, this is, maybe we don't the answer that we want here. God has a better plan still. God has a better plan still because the God that we worship is a God that is good. A God that is for us. And here's the other thing too, right? When we read the Bible and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we know that this is not it, guys. This is not our home. It's not our home. So if God wants to say, I'm going to answer no, or wait, you just have to trust him. We have to be obedient and keep waiting. And I would say, while we're waiting, keep worshiping. While we're waiting, keep serving. Because that's when God starts. I always say, listen, when we come to the end of ourselves, God really begins to move. Amen? But he's looking for us to be obedient. Oftentimes we want to see, right? I'm a planner. So I love to know the entire plan. I want to have a blueprint of how things are going to work out. And God doesn't work that way. God says, I'm going to give you enough if you will walk by faith and not by sight. And then allow me to do what I'm going to do because I'm God and you're not. Right? But we have to be obedient to what he wants us to do. And when he answers the prayer, and if an angel shows up, don't question him. Just say, yes, God, thank you. Praise God, right? Because number three, preparation happens in ordinary, everyday life. Preparation happens in ordinary, everyday life. You see, Zechariah wasn't, you think that he was like doing something awesome. Was he doing something? And yeah, he was serving the Lord because that's what God has called him to do. He was a priest. But maybe, you know, but it doesn't say that he was doing something outside of his normal routine. In fact, he would cast a lot and was asked to go and turn on the light the incense in the altar. And that's where the angel appeared to him. Now, you may not be a priest, right? But you, how many moms do we have in? How many dads do we have in the room? How many teachers do we have in the room? How many, what do you do? Joe, you underwrite. So it doesn't matter, right? Listen, all that we're saying, if we can take away from this, is like it wasn't about Zechariah himself. He was busy doing his job. He was about his business, about what God had called him to do for that day. And so preparation in our life looks a little bit different. They were serving. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both faithfully serving God in their daily lives. And then, right, they became part of his extraordinary plan. See, oftentimes we think that, like, that God will only move through, like, oh, you have to be an apologetic speaker, or you have to be the pastor, or the worship leader, or you have to be the women's ministry leader, or the men's ministry leader, or you have to be the children's coordinator. And I'll tell you that that's a lie. God will use people who are willing to say yes to God. Amen? And we have to be busy doing God's work every single day. But we have to be looking for the opportunity to do that. Does that make sense? Because listen, God is going to look for people who are faithful and obedient to do his will and his work. But we have to be receptive to it. Now this happens, and it might happen to you in a very strange way. For example, for myself, just this past week, I was I was trying to wrap up work because we had the holidays coming up. How many of you guys have been like really super swamped at work? Like, man, it just seems like there's not enough time in the day, right? It just seems like, wow, I just need more time. And that's usually, right, if we're honest, you got to be ready for the interruption. So I was about busy about my day. I had a bunch of meetings. And then somebody came and kind of like popped in, and they're like, hey, want to have lunch? I was like, oh, man, I was even going to power through lunch that day. And I was like, no. And that part of me was like, oh, I know I should have said yes, because I haven't connected with this person in a while. It's been a couple of months. And so my first response was like, let me see if I'm free. Not true story, right? And instead of just saying, you know, so I did go back to my office, and I was like, all right. I actually knew that this is bad, right? So let me just confess to you guys. I was actually free for the next hour. But I wanted to use that time to catch up on my work, right? So I said, well, let me go check, right? And I did go check. And I was like, all right, I guess I do have time. So I went back and I said, okay, I'm free. What do you want to do? Right, so we connected. Long story short, right, as we're going about our day, then we just started talking. How's life? What are things going on? How are your kids? He immediately his phone starts going off like crazy. And I was like, dude, what's going on? He said, I have this problem with my kid right now. And he's already starting to respond, and he's getting ready to like blow up. And I'm like, what's going on? He starts to share a little bit about the situation. And I said, listen, right? Because he was a guy, and he was a dad. And so instead of actually just going down and immediately responding, his emotional response, we started talking about kids. We started talking about parenting styles. We started talking about how God has equipped him as a man, and how God is using him, and how he needs to encourage his kids in a certain way. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, it was a God moment. I didn't want to be there, right? But God manipulated that situation, right? Because he told me, he's like, listen, afterwards, we got together, we prayed about it, we talked about the situation that was happening with his kids, and he said, man, I'm so thankful. He says, God clearly knew that we were supposed to have lunch together today. Because I would have responded a completely different way. And I know afterwards I would have regretted it. Here's the thing. There's nothing magical about, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Sometimes you see like a person who's serving in the church or somebody that is doing ministry. There's nothing magical about us. That we just love Jesus. We just have to say yes. We have to be ready for the interruption. Because guess what? Those are the opportunities where God wants to use you to do something, right? To speak life, to pray over somebody. But oftentimes, it's going to show up, and I'm being honest with you, as what the world will perceive as an interruption. Jesus himself, when he walked, and you look at his ministry, was constantly being what? Constantly being interrupted. And he wouldn't say, hold on, I'm over here, heading over here to go preach this message, or I'm on the way to go heal somebody. He would actually stop. Because the interruptions were oftentimes the opportunities where he saw somebody, where he healed somebody, where he heard somebody. And so for us as believers, and as we're talking about preparing a way for Jesus Christ, listen, we have to be looking for the opportunities and be intentional to stop and say, who is going to interrupt you this week? Who is going to interrupt you? Because that is an opportunity where God is bringing somebody that we can say, hey, let me do your work. Let me pray over you. Can you use me for your plan and for your purpose? But if we're so busy and tied up to our own agenda, right, what's going to happen? We miss the opportunity to be used by God. We miss the opportunity to be blessing to somebody else. And I almost, like I said, true story, almost missed out on that opportunity. I could have said no. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? God is moving and he's like, well, let me see. Right? Will you say yes? And so we have to be very intentional that God is going to bring people in our lives that need to be encouraged, that need to be prayed for, that need to know who God is really. They need to know what God is really about, because there's a misconception about who God is in our culture. And we have to be ready for the interruptions and say yes, because preparation happens every single day in our ordinary lives, right? Everywhere we go, there's people who don't know who Jesus is. Everywhere. It's not like we have to go out and be like, where are all the non-believers at? Right? They're everywhere. It's not like we have to go out and it's like a big old search party. But we have to be ready, right? Preparation happens in our ordinary lives if we just look for these interruptions to say, God, will you use me today? Will you give me an opportunity to speak life to somebody? Will you give me the opportunity to invite somebody? How can I use? And the questions that we have to ask ourselves then is, how can we be intentional, right? Share Jesus with those around us. How can we be his hands and his feet every single day in our lives? Because here's the reality, right? You're a person of influence. I don't care what the world tells you or looking at you. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're an aunt, an uncle, if you're a teacher, if you're a worker, if you're a wherever you are, right? You're a business owner, whatever it is, you are a person of influence because you're around people. And what is leadership in it? It's just influence. It's just having the ability to speak life to somebody and encourage them. And listen, the more that we walk with God, I'm not saying that we're going to be like, our life is not free of attacks. Our life is not free of hurt or pain. It's not. How many of you guys are going through something right now or recently gone through something? Right? Only three of you guys. The rest of you guys are, everything's perfect for you guys. Yeah? I mean, you guys aren't going to raise your hand no matter what I say, I guess. No. Listen. To live is to struggle. To live is to have heartache. To live is to have disappointment. But we have a God who sees us through that. We have a God who encourages, who meets us at our need. And so, listen, people are going to see that. It's different when you go through a storm and your life is built on Jesus Christ versus when you go through the storm and you feel like you're drowning. There's a big difference when there is true peace in your heart by knowing who Jesus Christ is versus the people who don't know who Christ is. And so we have to make sure that we're doing what God has called us to do to prepare a way in our hearts, but also in the lives of those around us. Because preparation, right? It's going to happen at school. It's going to happen at work. It's going to happen at the grocery store. It's going to happen at soccer practice. We just have to look for the introduction and be intentional about it. Number four, God's work inspires us to share in his joy. God's work inspires us to share in his joy. In verse 24, that's where we see that it says, when the time of service was complete, he returned home, and after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, for 5 months she remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said, and in these days he has shown me favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. If we continue on to verse 57, if we turn a few, keep going down to verse 57, it says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and they shared her joy. See, God inspires us to share in his joy. Listen, there's no greater calling than to introduce somebody to Jesus Christ. I mean it. There's no greater purpose than to be used for his kingdom. I know sometimes it's like the world tells you, do this, do that. At the end of the day, your job is just your job. It's a means to an end. It's not the end all and be all. when you get the opportunity to invite, to do your work and what God has called you to do, there's nothing better. But every single one of us in here, I keep saying, you're going to keep hearing me saying this, right, has made for a plan and a purpose unique to God's kingdom. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, you have a huge influence to play on the life of your kids. No one is going to, I'm telling you, you have authority like you don't understand. Not the authority to like tell them to clean the room or to beat them or to, no, not that kind of authority. Well, discipline, right? Don't spare your kids from the rod. You won't, surely they will not die. That's a different message for another time. My daughter just gave me the rock eye. She lifted up her eyebrow. But no, you're in a position of influence and authority, spiritual authority over your kids. Now is the time to pray over them, to introduce them to God, to tell them. Because listen, the world is already trying, right? Doing everything it can to destroy our families, to take our kids' faith. And if we're not doing it, right, the world's going to have its way. We've got to be very intentional. But when we have the opportunity, right, to do His work and to fulfill His purpose, there's no greater joy. There's no greater joy in this life than to be used for the purpose that God has made you. And on the flip side of that, every one of us has a task and opportunity to serve God and be used by Him. You guys know who Les Brown is? He's a motivational speaker. And he tells a story, and it's called A Funeral. And I know it's like, why are you talking about joy, but a funeral at the same time? But he tells a story about how every one of us is equipped with talents, gifts, and abilities by the Holy Spirit. And he talks about, in that story, he says, listen, there's a lot of things that happen at a funeral, right? People are there, they're celebrating your life, they're talking about you. But he says, you need to reflect on your own life and what God has called you to do, what God has equipped you to do, what God has a plan and a purpose for you to do. And in that story, he says, there's a lot of sadness that happens at a funeral because people are weeping, because people are sad, people miss their loved one. He said, but there's even another type of sadness, another type of death that is happening when you go to the funeral. And he said, listen, as all your loved ones are standing around you, you also have to pretend and imagine that all the gifts, talents, and abilities, and all the dreams that God had for your life are also standing around your casket. And you have the opportunity, right? And he personifies them. And he says, all the dreams and all the tasks and all the goals and all the things that God wanted you to accomplish and achieve are also standing around. And they're weeping and crying too because they said, listen, God sent me to you, right, to make these things into fruition for His kingdom. If only you had the courage and the faith to take a step of action. If only you had the courage and the faith to be obedient. But you didn't. And so now, all the dreams and all the goals and all the plans that God had for your life are going with you as well. And I don't know about you guys, man, but just listen. If you take one thing away from this thing, it's like, be obedient to what God has called you to do. Be faithful to what God has called you to do. And oftentimes it's like we underestimate our own position and how God has equipped us. Don't shy away from the plan that God has for your life. Prepare your heart. Then do your part to make sure that you are building up the kingdom. And when we are obedient, like we see Zechariah, even though Zechariah was disobedient, he still received the blessing. Even though Zechariah didn't believe, God still showed up and was faithful no matter what, because that's the God who we serve. And so the challenge for us today is, how are we going to prepare our own hearts to be obedient to God, to prepare, right, other hearts, to remind people about why we celebrate Christmas, and not just about the gifts and the toys and the food. It has nothing to do with that. Elizabeth's response was one of gratitude, and it added to her testimony, right? Her joy foreshadowed the joy, even the greater joy that was going to come through Jesus, See, John played a very important role in his ministry. It was to proclaim what God's goodness to others. It was about preparing and making a way for the Savior that is to come. There's people that we know, that we love, they don't know who Jesus is. Or they heard about him, but they have a misunderstanding about who he is. And it's our job to speak truth. It's our job to see them where they are. Our job to invite them, to prepare for their introduction with Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important. Not your job, bank account, not how clean your house is, not the perfect Christmas gift, not the perfect Christmas tree, the perfect lights. None of that matters. Except for what we do for the kingdom. I mean that. And what we do with Jesus Christ. So for us, the call to action, right, is who needs to hear about Jesus in your life? That's a question. Who needs to hear about Jesus in your life? And how can we commit to sharing and preparing their heart to get to know the Savior? Amen? All right. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord God, for giving us life, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. Thank you for the testimony that we have through John the Baptist about how you had a plan for him to share the good news, to proclaim that you were coming, to share about and prepare hearts for you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning, Lord, that every one of us would look at our own heart, our own life, and that we would just say, yes, Lord God, I know that there's people that don't know who you are. I need to prepare myself to be faithful to that call. I need to be obedient to that first, Lord God. So will you help me be obedient to you? Will you help me to look for opportunities, Lord God? Will you help me not to be too busy when people come and ask and really is an opportunity to be used by you? Help us, Lord God, to get out of our busyness and to look for windows, Lord God, where we can share the good news of who you are. We can share our testimony. We can share our faith. And Lord, you do the saving. The Holy Spirit comes in. All you're asking us to do is to be obedient. So, Lord God, will you meet here, Lord God, and help us just to be faithful to the call that you have for us. Lord, you get all the honor, you get the glory. You just want us to be obedient to the call. And Lord, when we are obedient, Lord, your work inspires us and we get to share in your joy. And what greater purpose can we have in our life, Lord, than just to be obedient and to say yes and to know because of the work that we've done here, Lord God, and it's your work first, that there'll be people that will be saved and they'll be in heaven because of that, Lord, because of our opportunity to invite them. Thank you, Lord God, again for just giving us the privilege and an opportunity to serve, to know you, to be known by you. And Lord, help us to seek you out first in all things, Lord God, and your work will be added. Lord, everything that you do, Lord God, is for your honor and for your glory. You are awesome. I have no other way to say it than. But the call to action for us is just to be obedient and to prepare. And Lord Jesus, give us a very clear instruction on as we're going to get ready to celebrate communion this morning. So I'm gonna transition a little bit into our time of communion, because we celebrate Christmas because Jesus came, but he also know that he didn't stay in heaven. He asked us as a reminder to do this particular what we're going to talk about, observation, I always call it. There's two different things. He calls us to do baptism. He calls us to communion. And so God, just right now, I want us to lead us into this time of prayer as well, because we got to prepare our hearts. We got to prepare our hearts. Because the last thing we want to do is bring any kind of judgment upon ourselves. And Jesus is very clear on that. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 to 29, it says, "Whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone should examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." So, Father God, would you look at our hearts right now, Lord God? Lord, I just ask us that collectively as I'm praying, I pray that you forgive us, Lord God, for our sins. Lord, every one of us in here is a sinner, God, but I just pray now that you would help us to examine our hearts and be real before you. We can We can put on a front for the world, but you see us, Lord God. You know our hearts. You know our minds, Lord God. You're omniscient. And so, Lord God, I pray right now that you would help us, Lord God, to surrender whatever sin or whatever is inhibiting our walk with you, Lord God. Would you help us to surrender to your cross? You are faithful to forgive if we are honest and we can repent and turn away from our sin. So right now, I'm just gonna stay quiet for a little bit, and I just pray that everybody will be praying in their heart, Lord God, and just surrendering these things, Lord God, to you, and getting right with you first. Lord, we don't want to bring judgment upon ourselves, Lord God. So I'm just gonna stay quiet for a moment. I just want you to hear the prayers of your people in here. Lord Jesus, thank you again for the gift of salvation that we have in you. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and for your sacrifice for us on the cross. Thank you again for the reminder that we have to celebrate communion and how you ask us to remember what you did for us. I could never imagine the kind of pain and separation that you endured on the cross so that we can be saved. Lord, forgive us for our sins. To continue to put our faith and trust in you in all things, Lord God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came. Father God, you are such an awesome God to us, Lord. And I just pray for every one of us here, Lord God. I pray that you would just meet us where we are. And I thank you again for the sacrifice, Lord, for the mercy and the grace that you pour upon us every single day, Lord God. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. The Lord Jesus, on the night he betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Lord Jesus, thank you again for your love, for choosing to come down into the most humble circumstances. You're born not into a palace, but into a lonely manger. Thank you that you understand us. Thank you that you're a man and both God at the same time. And Lord, even as we remember today, Lord God, that you endured death unto the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And meet us at our need, Lord. Thank you again for your grace and your mercy. And will you help us, Lord, as we get into this season and remembering of what you've done for us. Prepare our hearts. Prepare a way for you, Lord God, because you're coming again. And to prepare the hearts of those around us who don't know who you are, for the introduction and the invitation. Help us to be bold, Lord God, and help us to be faithful. Prepare a way for you, Lord Jesus. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name.